I think that it would do us all good to spend some time in meditation and study about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and about His resurrection from the dead. And today I want to read a passage of Scripture, be found in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. This is an account of what transpired on that first resurrection morning. Now, Luke wasn't an eyewitness to this, but he received the information from those who were eyewitnesses. And you can find that in the first chapter of the book of Luke. There are other accounts. All four of the Gospels give an account of the resurrection of the Lord. But somehow I felt I wanted to read this portion this morning. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you that he, while he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now that's all I'm going to read at this time, but I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title today a statement that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is recorded in John chapter 14 and verse 19. And Jesus made this statement, Because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now, there were many prophecies in the Old Testament that had reference to the resurrection. We know that the psalmist, who was indeed a prophet, the Bible tells us that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that David was a prophet, and he wasn't speaking concerning himself, but he was prophesying concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophecy was, Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And we know this to be true from the second chapter of the book of Acts, that prophecy was concerning Jesus. There were other prophecies also concerning the resurrection. Daniel spoke of a resurrection. He said that many who sleep in the grave will arise, some to shame and everlasting contempt, and some to eternal life. So there's references to the Old Testament to the resurrection. And then we notice also that when we come into the New Testament, that there are many references concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and also the resurrection of all the dead. Jesus spoke and he said that the hour was coming when all that are in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So this morning, on this resurrection morning, I like to call it resurrection morning because, you know, the Lord Jesus, he rose from the dead early in the morning. As it was dawning toward the first day of the week. So we here at Fairview Memorial, we meet every Lord's Day, or we have been meeting every Lord's Day for 94 years, I believe. maybe 95 years. And we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus every Lord's Day. You know, in the Bible, the seventh day was the Sabbath day in the Old Testament under the Mosaic economy. But when Jesus rose from the dead, a new era began. And we call it the dispensation of grace. And Jesus, he rose not on the Sabbath day, but he rose on the first day of the week. And from that time forward, the disciples, the apostles, they met together upon the first day of the week, and they worshiped the Lord. And so we do that also. We worship the Lord every Sunday. Now, this is a special time, a time that's been set aside to remember the resurrection and to celebrate the life from the dead for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just spend just a few moments. I want to talk about the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he lived about 3.5 years on this earth. And he was a man who was despised and rejected of men. He was a man that was humiliated in so many different ways. Jesus said, "They hated me without a cause," and that's very true. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he came into the world and began his personal ministry, the Bible says that he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil and that were sick. His ministry was a ministry of doing good to the people. And yet those religious people in his day, as well as the pagans who lived in that day, the heathens, they rejected him and they didn't want anything to do with him. Now, even when he was arrested and he was taken before Pilate, he endured such great humiliation. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, where Stephen, he had been in Samaria preaching the gospel and had great success, many converts. But the Lord instructed him to go down into the desert, and he obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he got down in the desert and he found this man sitting in his chariot, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the place where he was reading is this. In his humiliation, now I'm going to turn and read it because I think this is important. So just bear with me a moment while I turn to the 8th chapter. I might could quote most of it, but I probably would mess up here. But this is what it said. It said that the place where he was reading, verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Now, you know, he was examined by Pilate. They came and arrested Jesus as he was leaving the Garden of Gethsemane, where he had prayed and agonized. Judas came and kissed him on the cheek to identify him as the Lord Jesus. And they arrested him. And they took him to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, and they falsely accused him. They had false witnesses. They had people even that they paid to perjure themselves and to lie on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they ended up scourging him, giving him a beating, you know. And they took him then to Pilate's judgment hall because they did not have the authority to execute the Lord Jesus. They could bring charges against him, but they couldn't execute him. So they took him to the Roman government and delivered him unto Pilate under false charges. False charges. And so Pilate examined him. And Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man. He has done nothing worthy of death." Now that was the verdict. But the people they were not satisfied with that verdict, and they said, crucify him, crucify him. And so Pilate set aside his judgment and gave the command for Jesus to be crucified. Now, that's what it means when it said his judgment was taken away. Jesus did not get justice when he went before Pilate. He was indeed an innocent man, and he was not worthy of death. And Pilate knew that, but he set aside his judgment, and he condemned him to be crucified. He got no justice. And we read then about the Son of God. He, as I said, he was arrested. He was falsely accused. He was scourged. He was delivered to Pilate on false charges. And he was examined and he was mocked. They put a robe upon him and crowned him with thorns. And they bowed down before him and they mocked him. He was sentenced to death. Can you imagine the humiliation that the Lord Jesus went through? And then they took him to Calvary, a place that is also called Golgotha. It was called the place of the skull because it resembled the face of a skull. That's where they put to death criminals. They crucified Jesus. And they crucified him between two malefactors, two men who were indeed criminals. And Jesus was in the middle, on the middle cross. And I think they did that so that it would make him look more guilty, you know, look like he too was a criminal. And they crucified him. And Jesus spent 6 hours on that cross experiencing excruciating pain. His last words... He was on the cross 6 hours, and his last words that he spoke, he said, "It is finished." Now, he had said that previously in a prayer that he prayed to his Heavenly Father. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, as he was praying, he said, "Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." And he said, "Now glorify thou me with the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world." Hanging on the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." And the Bible said that he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Before he gave up the ghost, he uttered these words also, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Now you see, Jesus gave his life. You know, they could not have killed him had he not been willing to die. But he was willing to die. And he suffered all of that humiliation, all of that pain, all of that agony as a payment for sin. You see, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he took our place. He was not guilty of anything. In him was no sin. He took our place and he died on the cross in our stead. And so he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And when you stop and you think about it, you know, who would do that? Who would do that? Well, only the Lord Jesus. The Bible said that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he is the captain of our salvation. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, you know, it says that he endured the cross and he despised the chain. He endured all of that pain, all of that agony, and he despised every minute of it. You know, it was our sins that put him on the cross. It was not his sins, but our sins. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter, I believe it is, maybe in chapter 2 and maybe verse 28, he said that he took our sins upon himself and he went to the cross and bore our sins in His own body on the cross. So He endured it and He despised it, but He did it for a reason, you see. Isaiah the prophet in 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, he said that for the joy that was set before Him, He did all of this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. You see, He endured it, He experienced it, and He did it for a reason, because there was joy that was going to be ahead of this. He was dying so that you and I could have eternal life, and so we would not have to suffer the eternal damnation in the lake of fire. And so, as a song said, Jesus suffered and bled to pardon and sanctify you and me. Now, that's why He did it. And that's a joy that was set before Him, the fact that He was atoning for sin. And He did that very thing. Now, after he had died, they took Him down from the cross. You know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they asked permission to take the body of Jesus down from the cross and to bury it. Now, Isaiah had also prophesied that He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich also in His death. Now, you see, Jesus, He owned no property. He had no worldly possessions. He said the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have dens, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. So he didn't have any earthly possessions. He didn't even have a place to be buried, you know. And if it hadn't have been for Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus would have been buried in the potter's field, you know, the place where they bury criminals, you know. But Joseph, being a just man, he had a new tomb that had never been used, you know. He had hewn this tomb out of the side of the rock, the mountain, you know. And he had fixed a rolling stone that would roll against the door of the tomb to seal it. And so he begged the body of Jesus, and he took the body, he and Nicodemus, and they buried Him in Joseph's new tomb. Now, Joseph was a rich man, you see. So he would have made his death with the wicked in the potter's field, had it not been for the rich man that loved the Lord Jesus. And he took Him and he buried Him in his own new tomb. So he's buried. And he stayed in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. In the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, you know, the Jews asked Jesus for a sign concerning the things that He had been teaching. And Jesus said, "There shall no sign be given unto you, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." And that's why I say that He was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. Now the Sabbath day had come and gone. The Jewish days ended at sundown, you know, every day. So the Sabbath day had ended, and the first day of the week had begun. Sometime between 6 o'clock in the evening and the next morning, the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Now, the Bible tells us, and Matthew tells us, that it was very early in the morning when the women went to the grave. John tells us that it was at the rising of the sun. As the sun began to rise and the new day began to dawn. The women went to the tomb. And as they walked toward the tomb, they said, "Who will roll the stone away for us?" But when they got inside of the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. And the door was open. They were greeted by an angel. And the angel said unto them, "I know who you seek. You seek Jesus that was crucified. But," he said, "he's not here. He is risen." And he said, "Go and tell his disciples. Go and share the news. Spread the news. Jesus has risen from the dead, even as he said." And he did rise from the dead. And he showed himself alive. You know, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's a book of Acts, chapter 1, that he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs. Now, an infallible proof would be a proof that could not be, contaminated, you know. It is a truth beyond doubt, you know. And that's what he did. He showed himself alive. He showed himself to Mary. And then he showed himself to the 11 apostles. And then when he showed himself to the 11, Thomas was not there. And they said, "Thomas, Jesus has risen from the dead." And he said, "I don't believe it. And I won't believe it until I see him. And I put my finger in the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I'm not going to believe it." Well, later Jesus appeared to them again. And when he appeared that time, he said, "Thomas, come here." He said, "I want you to put your fingers in the prints of the nails. And I put your hand in my side." And he said, "Don't be faithless, but you have faith, you believe." And Thomas fell down before the Lord Jesus, and he said, "My Lord and my God." Later, the Bible says that he showed himself unto Cephas, and then he showed himself to the two men on the Emmaus Road, and he showed himself unto above 500 people at one time. Jesus rose from the dead, and he is still alive today. Now, why is this important? I'm about to close, but I want to share this with you. Why is this important that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, it's a part of the gospel. If you leave the resurrection of the Lord Jesus out of the gospel message, my friend, then there is no good news, you know. Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again according to the Scriptures. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, maybe verse 14, and maybe I'll just turn to that because I think I need to. Sometimes I can quote and sometimes I can't. But anyway, here's what it says. It says, "If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. It's worthless. It is empty. It has no promise. It has no hope. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then our preaching is vain. And your faith is vain also." The faith that you put in the Lord Jesus, if he didn't rise from the dead, it don't amount to anything. We notice in verse 17, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and you're still in your sins." That's why this is important. This is why the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is so important. Then it says in verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You just think about for the last 2,000 years, we'll say. You can go back further than that. But since the time Jesus was born, everybody that professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, if he did not rise from the dead, then they have perished. They have perished. And it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So that's why it's important that we preach the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It is a fact. It is truth. Jesus lived and Jesus died and he rose again. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. And that's why we have hope. Now I'm going to share this and then I'll close. It's in 1 Thessalonians. And it's very familiar. All of you have heard it many times. It's in the 4th chapter. And this is what it says. But I would not have you to be ignorant. Now that means uninformed. I want you to understand. I want you to have this information. It's important. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's my message today. I pray that it has been a message of comfort, message of hope, because there is hope in the Lord Jesus. Because he not only died for our sins, but he rose again for our justification. We're going to have Brother Strode lead us in another song. And this song is entitled, Because He Lived. I can fail.